It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Anybody right now sitting around, driving around with a Keon Coleman take they want to rip off? So here's why I ask. Not that we couldn't ever ask a question like that. I mean, it's one of our big topics with the Bills is Keon Coleman, right? I mean, I was going to say a lot rides on him, and that's another question I need to ask myself. Like, how much really rides on Keon Coleman? The Texans, who the Bills play in the opener, lost their presumed wide receiver two to a torn ACL, out for the year. And a couple things on that. The player is Jaden Higgins. They have Nico Collins, who's a star. He got hurt against the Bills. I guess that would have been 2 years ago on a long touchdown pass. Then he was like gone for more than a month. But, you know, if he stays on the field, like anybody, he's close to elite. After that, Tank Dell, everybody liked him, injured, presumed not ready for week one. Now you've lost Higgins for the year already. And after that, you're really scrambling. Coleman, a friend of mine, tweeted to me and maybe others that the Bills should try to trade Keon Coleman to Houston. And I would never do that. I don't want to give him away on a team where I'm not still really sure what I've got at wide receiver. He's 23, and I'm playing them in week one. I'm not giving them anybody. People have made the connection with New England and Houston. The Houston GM was with New England. And by the way, as I pointed out on Twitter, those teams do not play each other this year. If the Patriots want to trade Kayshon Booty because they don't have a spot for him, then maybe the opener is still almost a month away where Houston could get someone in and acclimate him and get by. If not for the whole season, at least week one. I mean, Jaden Higgins hasn't really done anything in the NFL yet. It's not like they lost Collins. But yeah, they could be, upon this news, they could be looking for somebody to bring in. I wouldn't accommodate them. I don't need a fifth round pick or any pick. Well, they're not going to offer me a first, right? I don't need a draft pick right now. What I need is to win a championship. And I am still leaving the door cracked open for Coleman. I know he's in a walking boot, and I know everything, or at least what we all know about his experiences here the last couple of years, but I don't want to dump it. Do you? Do you think there's any value in that? Like, do you think you would be at a point, are you at a point where you would basically trade Keon Coleman for a draft pick for next year? I don't think I'd want to trade anybody for a draft pick for next year, unless it's mind-blowing, unless it's somebody, you know, where I'm getting a one and I just can't say no. But even that, imagine such a trade. If the Bills were to send, it would have to be a starter for anybody that would get you a high draft pick, even round two, I would think. Are they so deep anywhere where they could afford that? I wouldn't. If I'm Brandon Bean, I wouldn't do it for any reason. I mean, the optics of trading a player in this moment for a draft pick to me would just be a deal breaker. No, you're not going to catch me playing for futures with this roster. I got to win. Now, one part of that is, and you know, this is subjective, you might disagree with this, are they so deep anywhere where they could actually do something that would help the overall? And I just don't think so. I don't think they're unique in that. I don't think the Bills are that different or that special in the AFC for being, you know, fragile? Can I use that word? Can I use the F word? Shouldn't I know after all these years if I can use the F word? Are they fragile? So if Josh Allen goes down, it's over. If Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, it's over. Like that's maybe Trevor Lawrence. Who else? Maybe Drake May. Maybe Herbert. I don't want to say CJ Stroud. I don't want to say Bo Nix, but I don't know. I think with a lot of teams, Dak Prescott, maybe Jalen Hurts, although I'm not as sure about Jalen Hurts. Who else? Stafford, yes. Want to say Darnold? I don't know if I do. I don't need to run the whole league down. Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit, maybe all those teams. Maybe it's almost half the league where the starting quarterback goes down. You can send the check. Now, thinking of that Houston point, maybe it's the time of year where any of those teams, if the worst case scenario were to happen, and let's just hope that we're not talking about this at any point starting tomorrow when you're going to walk into Cleveland and, you know, play a pretty serious, have a pretty serious practice with the Browns. Like, maybe there's somebody that you would try to get to save your season. But really, like, after Allen, whose injury would really be a problem for these Bills? Is there anybody where you would say they're dead? I would never say that about Cook. No offense to Cook. Because running backs get replaced all the time and sometimes do just as well or even better. I would think I don't want to go there with Dawkins. I don't even really like having this conversation, well, with myself, because it's sort of like a little bit dark, you know, presuming injuries. But it also is the kind of thing that a GM would have to have answered to himself already. Like, what do we do? What's plan B if anybody goes out? I don't think there's another skill position player on the Bills where I think they'd really be dead. I mean, DJ Moore is interesting. What's happened, you know, I'm in the fantasy streets, right? And what's happened with DJ Moore on the heels of Saturday's game is every time I turn on a podcast or host one like last night, everybody seems just sort of more open to DJ Moore being good to, you know, well, stat-wise, for the Bills. What matters to those guys is, like, can I get 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns out of DJ Moore or 100 catches, things like that? Like, I think Saturday did something, which to me is a little bit weird because it was one half, if not one quarter, of a preseason game. How about you? 803-0550. I would not have any interest in dumping Coleman. I mean, if he is, and I doubt this is true, but if he is some sort of a problem internally and they feel like, and this happens sometimes, they got to get him out of here because you don't know what's going on, it's this bad, then, you know, that's not something I'm privy to. And I guess that does happen. But I want to keep going to see if I can get, what is it? I mean, I'm never going to get, probably, I mean, I shouldn't say never, I doubt I'm ever going to get that DJ Moore hypothetical season I just mentioned from Keon Coleman. But what I could get is touchdowns. And honestly, and I like this little stat, no player on the Bills over the last two seasons has caught more touchdown passes than Keon Coleman. 8. So there's like a red zone value to him. And I think maybe as he gets older, I can stretch that out into something more. So I don't want to give him up for nothing. But I'm also not expecting the world, you know, just sort of, I can't be giving up. Maybe this is just obvious. I can't be giving up players for future assets right now. And that puts Bean in a little bit of a spot. We talked to Mike Tenier earlier, and he's like, basically, I've never been a fan of, to an extent, of Bean's performance. He has not, I mean, this is what it is. He has not been in a situation where he can really rebuild, like, at all. It's not even rebuilding. They call it what? Retooling, or whatever word might be even behind that. In really what you're doing. I mean, you're not trading your best players like you would see in hockey or something when your team is bad and you've got stars on big salary. Like, you just get everybody out of here. Football teams almost never do that. But he hasn't been, his Bills have always been on the cusp. I mean, always. So he's never been in a position to trade for futures. I guess, you know, he did it with Diggs. After he traded futures for Diggs in the first place, he got to a point, I'm talking about Coleman a little bit like this, hypothetically, he got to a point with Diggs, the Bills did, I think Allen is probably driving this, like he, I think he drives almost everything they do, where they just felt like it was untenable and let's take our chances. Everybody eats, you know, right? Let's just, we can't have this guy around anymore. But apart from like specific off the field personality conflicts, what Diggs is famous for, there really is no, there's been no opportunity, no impulse to rebuild or retool the Bills because obviously they've been at or near the top of the division the whole time. So I wouldn't, you know, that's just a certain facet of Bean's tenure or legacy with the Bills is like a lot of what maybe a GM can get fat on, so to speak, in this way is if like they start with a rebuilding project. And, you know, he did come in before they got good, and that meant Watkins and what, was that Darius even? Like, I guess that goes back that far. But really, like, ever since, Allen got pretty, and they just have never had any sort of inclination, rightly, to be like that. Lines open for your feedback on this. Let's talk to Lucas here. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, good morning. Or not good morning, but how you doing?
Hi.
So I think what you're saying about Keon here, I'm just thinking about, like, in terms of his expectations, what I'd be happy with. And I think if DJ Moore can come in and be your team's certified number one primary wide receiving pass catching option, if you could slot Keon into like the third tier, if he's the tertiary option for the wide receivers and he could produce on the level of like a Gabe Davis when we had Diggs and we had Isaiah McKenzie and Cole Beasley, if he could produce to what a Gabe Davis could produce in that role, I think I would personally be happy with that. I don't think you need him to be like a 1,000-yard-a-year guy, even though you took him in the second round. So that's just my take on it.
Yeah. No, I mean, you don't need to set the loftiest expectations for him to call it a win, I guess, for him to meet whatever 1,000 yards or whatever it might be. I don't think we're really there anymore, if we ever were there. What you want, though, is a useful asset, whatever that means on a stat line. And I would dare to suggest that Coleman hasn't been, you know, useless so far in 2 years. Last year he played in 13 games. He started 6. He was benched. But he did give them 4 touchdown catches. The leader on the team had 5. Dalton Kincaid had 5. Nobody else had that many. Shakir 4, Knox 4, Coleman 4. 4 is not 14, but it's about the best that anybody did in that statistic. And the year before is the same thing. What Bills player had 5 touchdown catches in 2024 to lead the team? Mac Hollins. Remember him? And then it's 4 from Coleman and 4 from Shakir. Like there is a, is it a need per se? There is a role or a, maybe a little bit of a void, you could say, that he can help fill. They have not had the touchdown guy. I mean, Davis in his day, the first stint with Davis, Diggs, of course. But that's really what I would love for them, is if somehow this goes through Joe Brady, if somehow they had, whether it's Coleman or someone else, like an easy button, as they say, in the red zone, where it isn't Allen running over people and it isn't James Cook. Or it could be a little swing pass or something to James Cook, but, you know, defenses tend to be prepared for that. Like, just if there's a player, a contested catch player that wins in the end zone, not everybody's Davante Adams, but Davante Adams is, to me, the picture in the dictionary for this, where no matter, I mean, he's going to be double-teamed. He's Davante Adams, but it doesn't matter. He's essentially the Rams' goal line back. And Stafford is good enough, and maybe Allen is this good, right? We want to think so, that you can get easy-ish touchdowns from a receiver, you know, like from what the Rams get with Adams. And not thinking that Coleman can be Adams, but something like that would be what I would, that would be my project as the Bills when it comes to Coleman, is to figure out how to get him. I mean, is it impossible? Separation, there's good size. Is it impossible to think that Keon could be like that kind of player. Maybe it is. It's lofty. I'm not shooting for 1,000 yards. I'm shooting for a decent producer that isn't just a dead asset on my roster. And I think the Bills, I mean, listen to this. I think the Bills at wide receiver have room for that. Don't you? I think they do. Now, it won't be in Cleveland, I guess, because he was on a walking boot yesterday. So I doubt we see him at all this week with whatever sprained toe slash foot means, but it doesn't sound like he's fine. Remember Ryan Paganetti, who came on with me a while ago? He was in the Eagles booth, the analytics guy who he's not working in the league this year, but he's building this really impressive portfolio on social media, and he's doing lots of interviews. It's a lot of fantasy, but it's also not talking about his experience and just like stuff that teams still get wrong. That's not where I'm going here, but I saw something from him today that I thought was interesting. So Sal and I talked yesterday about this joint practice versus the game with the Browns. And we like the joint practice because we can control the situations and we don't have to be as violent necessarily, unlike a real game. So certain obvious ways that coaches work together and the joint practice kind of fits with what their needs are. He said, Ryan Paganetti said, he just put out that, like, if you put these practices on TV, how well would they do? Couldn't Eagles and Patriots today, A.J. Brown against his old team, in a controlled, presumably, practice. If you put that on TV tonight, live, how well would it do? How well would it draw? Ryan basically suggested that it would beat maybe almost any playoff game in any other sport for ratings. Put an Eagles-Patriots joint practice up against the Stanley Cup playoffs. Which gets more eyeballs? I mean, to me, that's A, believable, and B, very sad. Depressing. Because it really shouldn't be like that. Doesn't football have enough of a stranglehold on our sports culture that we can just maybe put a limit on how much more needs to be visible, how much more needs to be shown? Like, and that's not against his point. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have said that. I'm just saying, like, if the Bills-Browns practice tomorrow were on TV, I'd feel an obligation to watch it. I'd feel some, like a professional one, I'd feel some, you know, interest in it. I have that already. So if it's available to watch it, I probably, some of me would want to do it. But I also just, I don't need more football, you know? Like, it's, I have taken the ride with this sport. And most of you maybe, I mean, a lot of you have done it earlier, for longer than I have, and just with less of a guilty conscience, maybe. But I don't want joint preseason practices to outrate playoff games in the NHL or in baseball. I'd rather it not do that. So do we get to a point where these are televised? I mean, when has football ever said no to money? And if they thought they could make money on it, and maybe they just haven't realized yet. Now, I mean, more teams, I think, are doing it than before. This idea that it, in a way, replaces the preseason game for competitiveness or strategy or really what the teams need from each other, well, what does that tell you about the merits of the preseason game? Of all things that might seem incredible about sports in bygone eras, the fact that there were 6 preseason games in the NFL 50 years ago, that's color TV. I mean, that's not Red Grange. The fact that these teams played 6 preseason games before a 14-game regular season schedule, to me, like, a part of me wants to go back in time and just listen to or read a conversation about how that like happened and whether or not anybody thought to question it, like six preseason games, and the starters played them all throughout. It wasn't about resting guys and keeping them away from injury. It was about getting in shape and getting ready for our season. So can you imagine six? I mean, I grew up with four, and it was a pretty long time ago when four seemed too many. Then we got to three, but only because we had to have the extra regular season game, and I'm pretty sure we're going to do that again, go to two preseason games and 18 regular season games and probably more of these joint practices. They're fine. I feel like the Browns, and Sal's going to join me in about 10 minutes from Cleveland, I feel like the Browns are a little bit of a beehive for the Bills to walk into. This is not a – if I could pick, this is not a team I'd want to hang out with right now and practice with. I don't know if I trust the Browns for this. I think I'd rather have this with a good team that doesn't have a new coach trying to instill all the new culture stuff and attitude and toughness and all those football things to a franchise that has been, I mean, desolation, Cleveland. That's a little bit unsettling to me. Like, who's to say, I mean, I guess this could happen anywhere. It could happen to a team playing against the Bills. You run into Caleb, you look at Caleb Elarm's oar the wrong way, he might just pile drive you. But really, like, Cleveland seems ripe for a scene where, I mean, they're trying to win jobs, they're trying to win respect. If you're not expected to win, does a coach like you for that extra effort type stuff, even if he doesn't think you're that talented because you're what he's trying to impart? Again, it's a pretty broad brush because I'm not saying that means you'll get hurt playing against that guy. But there's a little bit of that with me. I think there's already a natural feeling of this is going to be more intense. Everybody says that when you go practice against another team in these situations. Everybody says there's an intensity jump because, you know, you're not hitting your own guys and teams are very strict about what they want you to be able to do against your own teammate. And like, that's, you see these fights happen at training camp, and aren't they often because somebody thinks somebody else went too far? That's not what it's going to be when it's the Bills and the Browns. It's not about, unless it's from a coaching perspective, it's not going to be that you went too far. He's like, yeah, that's my guy. And then it's just on. I think they're all going to try to avoid that in Cleveland. But yeah, it's just a team that, I don't know, I just feel a little bit, not nervous, but a little anxious maybe, that you're walking into a place where guys are going to have not that much to lose and a lot to prove maybe. See what Sal thinks next. He and I talked about that for a minute yesterday. From Cleveland, Sal Capaccio after the update. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Sal was out in Cooperstown, Oneonta, that area for Little League Baseball that week. Got home, right to the stadium, preseason opener. Quick breath of fresh air. And then now Cleveland for a joint practice and then a preseason game on Saturday with the Browns. How do you like Cleveland, Sal?
I love it. It's a great city. Been there a couple of times. Been there several times now, but we've actually gone there a couple times just to go as a family to kind of hang out down by the river, and they've done a great job by the waterfront there, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the baseball field, the football stadium, everything's right there. I've seen the Yankees play there a couple times, so it's been really nice, and I think they've done a really great job with that district down there.
Pretty easy to get around, and there's lots to do, especially for a sports fan. Have you been to see the Cavaliers?
I have not. I think baseball and football, but I have not done basketball there yet.
Also right down there next to the stadium. I went to see game three of the finals with Golden State, my one ever NBA game in Cleveland, and I feel like I cannot do another one because it was just so good. So we'll have fun there. We talked about this practice tomorrow when we spoke yesterday, And I don't know, I'll put it a different way, but not that different. I feel like the Bills might be walking into a little bit of a hornet's nest with the Browns. You know, you have a new coach. There's something about a team, Sal, where they're, I mean, it's been decades of this for Cleveland, where the next coach in does the things we talk about all the time when they're new, like try to establish new standards mm-hmm. and everything like that. And I doubt this Todd Monken wants physical altercations. This is a group effort with the Bills, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if it got pretty feisty.
No, me neither. And as I said yesterday, I've been a part of these a few times with the Bills, Carolina, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Cleveland coming to Buffalo. And I don't remember any time where it's gotten really out of hand. There's always been a couple skirmishes here or there, but then you look around the league and it happens. There's kind of no way to predict it. You have to have, you know, two coaches and organizations that send the message and set the tone and try to do whatever they can to make sure that doesn't happen. But you also never know. Maybe the message is let's go be as physical as possible. And you're trying to win jobs and compete and all those kinds of things. And we know that, you know, the Browns are a team that has not done a lot of winning, and people are trying to, you know, fight for jobs and show that they can be part of that, you know, turning it around, so to speak. The Bills are also in that same boat with players on their team who are trying to win jobs for a new coach, by the way, mm-hmm. a new defensive coordinator, by the way, who said yesterday, or yeah, at the practice, Jim Leonard said physicality. That's the number one thing he's looking for. So there's no doubt about that, but you just hope that people treat it right and they get accomplished what they, you know, go there to get accomplished.
Maybe to try to expound upon that, what are the Bills' top few priorities for this tomorrow? Either side of the ball, I mean, talking about defense there, but if indeed the two head coaches sit down tonight, or have they already, and try to, you know, coordinate, well, what do we both need to work on? What helps us? What might Brady mention?
Probably going against a different defense that they've gone, and I have to go and look exactly what kind of defense they run specifically, but you know, you want to make sure you're getting some different looks. Whenever you're in training camp for 3 weeks, you're going against the same offense and same defense. So from both sides of the ball, right? You want to make sure that, okay, can we put ourselves in a position where, you know, run against a different kind of look, a scout team, so to speak. And even if it's a, so let's say you say to the Cleveland Browns, okay, you know, we're going to, you run a similar defense to us, but maybe there's a period where our offense can go against, you know, a scout team type of defense with a different kind of look. You can do that with different kinds of players. That can happen. You might want to get some periods of red zone work in that you haven't gotten enough in throughout your training camp so far. 2-minute drill. That's a really big one. You always want to do 2-minute. You'll see a lot of that, probably a couple of those periods tomorrow. Make sure everybody's buttoned up on that, especially if you're the Browns and you want to see your quarterbacks run that 2-minute period, because you don't have Josh Allen. You're going through a competition. You want to put your quarterback through the Browns in a position, in a situation where you can evaluate them a little bit better. Special teams, that's a big one. You know, both these teams want to make sure that they're buttoned up there, because there's not a lot of time in preseason games to necessarily work on that. You can't predict that, how much you're going to get that. Heck, the Bills won a preseason game, didn't punt last week, right? So you want to get that kind of work in. You want to see your guys. I remember last year, Mike, one of the big things we saw last year was the gunner drill. I mean, they just went for 15 minutes on guys just basically going to cover punts and people beating them up physically down the field. And there was a lot of hooting and hollering when guys would beat, you know, Tyrell Shavers was a big one. Tyrell Shavers did a great job. He got loose on one, and Bills players were going crazy because he made a play. Like, those are the kinds of things you want to see.
Well, I know how ridiculous this sounds. I'm used to it. But if you want a punt in a preseason game, just do it. Like, just who needs it to be fourth down? But yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me. The 2-minute thing, that's one where, as you know, of course, like, you can't necessarily control that in a preseason game, whether you're going to get that. So, I mean, you could pretend, but you'd have to be pretending. Like, here, you can set that up. So that seems like a good suggestion.
Yeah, and I think for the Bills, field goals, Tyler Bass, like, that's something you want to do tomorrow, and I'm sure both teams will work on that in some capacity. You know, you always wonder, I don't know if there'll be a live rush, not a live rush. You know, you want to be careful here. You don't want to get anybody injured. The specialists and the quarterbacks will most likely have, you know, different colored jerseys, so you're not running into them. You're not, you know, touching them. That's a big one that I like. I love the one-on-one stuff at these joint practices. you see when the Bills have practice, you go out to St. John Fisher, you'll see a period where the receivers are going against defensive backs, and it's one-on-ones, and it's great, and you want to see those guys. But a lot of times it's Christian Benford against DJ Moore, Christian Benford against DJ Moore. You're lining him up three times. Now you're going against different guys, different techniques. Same thing with the offensive line. You know, you're going to get Deion Dawkins against Jared Verse. Mm-hmm. That's the cool stuff that I like to watch is, you know, these guys are very prideful, and they don't want to get beat in those situations. And you want to see those guys really kind of get after it and see, you know, your guy against their guy one-on-one and who wins.
It'd be Denzel Ward now for DJ Moore if they're going top versus top in this practice in Cleveland. All right, well, tomorrow will be interesting, and we'll see how intense it is and what we learn from it. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. I'm Mike Shope, and Bulldog is off through Friday. Sal, Jaden Higgins going down for Houston. Probably their wide receiver, too, out for the year. That's what every day of these practices, be it a training camp or joint practice or anything, is what you're trying to avoid.
Yeah,
I wonder what you think, if you've thought about it, about that loss for the Texans. That's the Bills' week one opponent. There's probably time, if they wanted, to go get somebody low on someone else's depth chart. People have mentioned Kayshon Boutte in New England. There's a Texans-Patriots connection there. I don't know, but Houston, it could have been Tank Dell, it seemed, but now they're talking about it probably won't be for the opener. And Higgins, they might be scrambling already for week one.
Yeah, I think you're referencing, I don't think Tank Dell right now, it looks like he might not be ready, right? Might not play in the opener.
Unlikely.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. So it's a loss, no doubt. I mean, I was looking today, over 500 yards and 6 touchdowns his rookie year. Like, that's a really nice rookie year for Jaden Higgins. That's a tough loss for them. You know, a guy we've talked about in Buffalo a lot has a connection there, Brandon Cooks. And, you know, there's some tie to the Patriots there, too, with him and some of the people in that organization. I wonder if that's a guy that they would reach out to, come in and have a kind of a, you know, he's a veteran and he'd be able to walk right in and kind of pick up whatever they're doing. It's a loss for them for sure. I agree with you. You said, I think yesterday you said something about how the Texans have been getting, maybe it was today, Texans have been getting a little bit more run from some of the national pundits, right? And people are starting to like them a little bit. Warren Sharp talked and wrote about them a little bit, and I agree with that. And they're a fantastic defense, fantastic pass rush. They have a lot of talent on offense. I think there's a bit of a question on their offensive line, of course. The biggest question is what you've seen from Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry, I keep doing that. I'm thinking about Cleveland, and Deshaun was there. But C.J. Stroud, biggest question is about C.J. Stroud. And I was a huge C.J. Stroud fan and thought this kid was going to be the next superstar after his rookie year. Obviously tailed off a little bit last year. He was inconsistent, had some nice games and nice moments, but not quite to the ascension that I thought he would have. And then in the playoffs, just did not perform very well. I mean, you're going to want to surround him with, you know, the guys and the pieces to be able to truly, you know, get him to where he probably should be ultimately. And losing Jaden Higgins is a pretty darn big deal, I think, for them.
Yeah, right. Big target that just can post up and, you know, save a quarterback when he's under siege, which is a lot of what Stroud suffered from last year, not to make all the excuses for him. How about the Bills and their pass rush as far away as that game still is, Sal, going into the season? Like, we've talked about Houston's strengths, and that's one of them, and what happened last year when the Bills went to Houston and how they struggled so badly to protect Allen. He was just always under duress. How about the other way around in this game? Like, Houston, I don't know, it's a little bit early for this question maybe, but do you like, in general, the Bills' chances of making life tough on quarterbacks?
I like what I've seen so far at camp from in preseason game from the Bills, you know, outside linebackers, their edge rushers, their defensive scheme. We're not getting nearly the full plate, that's for sure. I mean, Jim Leonard has made that clear. Like, they're not going to show what they're going to do in the regular season. But one thing that really stood out to me, Mike, from the preseason game and pretty quickly, and I tweeted this as soon as I saw it, is the Bills, like, team defensive speed has really improved. Mm-hmm. And they are really being aggressive, but they're also younger and more athletic. So I think you combine all of that, and you got to like their chances to maybe get after the passer a little bit better because of all that. But you take some of these guys individually, and, you know, T.J. Parker, I think, has been a really pleasant, you know, surprise maybe to me as a first-round pick, the things that he can do, the athleticism he has for a big man. I think that really helps. Mike Danna, I mean, he's a freak. Who knows if he's going to make the team? He kind of had 2 sacks in 1 series, but just goes to show you some of these guys they have on this roster now that, you know, I think that they feel confident they can put on the field and have the ability to get to the passer. And, of course, you have Bradley Chubb and Greg Rousseau and then Michael Hoyt. We didn't see him last week, but I like that group. And, you know, the other day, right before the practice, Jim Leonard talked. And one thing that really stood out to me was a lot of times there's a lot of platitudes from the coaches. They have coach speak. He talked very highly about his group, like the edge rushers. And I believe what he was saying. Like, he really likes them. And, you know, people talk about Von Miller and all this stuff and cryptic tweets and stuff like that. And he signs with the Dallas Cowboys. I wouldn't be surprised if it was because the Bills after a game go, look, we're good with what we have. We like what we have here. We don't need to go out and get another guy right there. So the question is going to be a question until it happens. But I like what I've seen so far from that group. And I especially like what I see from the collective of how athletic and fast they are and thinking about the possibilities that Jim Leonard is going to come up with.
Sal, I'm about out of time here, but before you go, what is the timeline for tomorrow, timetable?
Joe Brady will speak at 12:50 p.m. Practice will start at 1:20. Browns players will speak at 12 p.m. for anybody who's dialed in on that side of things. And then practice starts at 1:20. After practice, we will hear from Josh Allen. Then we will have, the team will have an off day on Friday, nothing going on there, and then Saturday will be the game.
All right, so you and I will fit something in mid-show, maybe. It seems like there could be an opportunity to do that. And will you stay there Friday? I guess you don't need to answer that. No.
I'll be there. I'll be in Cleveland through Saturday, so yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sal. Talk to you tomorrow.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is on WGR, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. The place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I'm Mike Shope. Quick timeout. We'll talk some more next. This is WGR.